The last time that this gospel passage was read at Mass a few years ago, I may have mentioned to you about the part of the baptismal rite where after the child is baptized and anointed, the priest or the deacon performing the ceremony then blesses the ears and the mouth of the child, saying, "The Lord Jesus made the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. May he soon touch your ears to receive his word and your mouth to proclaim his faith to the praise and glory of God our Father." And that is exactly what every Christian is meant to do, to have our ears open to the saving word of Jesus Christ, to internalize it, to profess it with our words, and to profess it with our actions. In the gospel, Jesus told his disciples, "Blessed are your eyes for what they see, and blessed are your ears for what they hear. For many a prophet and holy one longed to see what you see and did not see it, to hear what you hear and did not hear it." He was speaking about himself. To see Christ, to see who he was and is, to see what he did and still continues to do, but to listen intently to his words, to internalize them, and to put those things that we hear and see into action. In the beginning of this rule, St. Benedict says, quoting the book of Proverbs, "Listen, my son, to the precepts of your master, and incline to him the ear of your heart." And this is exactly what our hearts are meant to do, to hear the word of Christ and to put it into practice, in faith, in hope, and in love. And what is it that we saw Jesus do beside the preaching of the gospel? We saw him open the ears of the deaf. We saw him open the eyes of the blind. We saw him cause the mute to speak and to sing. We saw him heal the crippled, they could leap like a deer, like a stag. In other words, in the midst of death and sickness, Jesus brought healing and life. In the world in which we live, we see lots of the results of sin: the death of the conscience, the death of the heart, the death even sometimes of the human mind. There is certainly a sickness of heart as love becomes not something to be enjoyed as a gift from God, but rather is replaced by lust, to where people possess things and other people solely for themselves. We see a place where Jesus is not loved or worshipped. We see a place where human beings are not loved but used. The world in which we live is certainly a desert void of God, void of faith, void of hope, void of love. But because of what Jesus did, as the prophet Isaiah said before the coming of Christ, he says, "Streams will burst forth in the desert and rivers in the steppe. The burning sands will become pools and the thirsty ground springs of water." And this is where you and I come in. In this world that is devoid of God, devoid of faith, hope, and love, you and I are called by Christ as members of his body, the church, to be the presence of God in this godless world, in this God-forsaken world, to remind the world that it is not forsaken, but still loved by God, as shown in and through us. We are the streams to bring forth new life in the desert. We are the rivers making fruitful the steppe or the bottomlands. We are here to transform the burning sands into pools, springs of living water, that thirsty ground that is made whole. How are we going to do it? Your ears have been opened. Your eyes have been opened. Your mouth should sing the glory of God. In our actions, like Christ, we are to do all things well. St. Paul reminds us that whatever we do, whether in speech or in action, we are to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, everything that we do, every aspect of our lives, from waking up in the morning to going to bed at night, every work, every act of charity, every part of our labor, every part of our lives, everything is done through him, with him, in him, and for him. There is nothing in our lives that is apart from Jesus Christ. Everything done through him, with him, in him, and for him. We are to do all things well. How many times, growing up, I've heard people say when they did something, "Oh, it's good enough, it's gonna do, ça va faire." Done halfway, and not done right, not done correctly. If we pay attention to our words, pay attention to our actions, pay attention to every detail, then we do all things well. You wouldn't want a builder to build you a house and say, man, that's going to do, or do things halfway. You want things being done well. If you're paying good money, you want to see the details taken care of, and we should. So it is in the rest of our lives. We get this in our head sometimes, like, well, I made a little mass during the week, that's enough, 1 hour a week. No, it's not. Say, do a few little prayers every day. No, it's not. Christ wants everything, the whole heart, the whole mind, the whole soul, the whole life. Or as St. Therese of Lisieux put it, you cannot be half a saint. It doesn't work. You either are or you aren't. You're either working towards sanctity or you're working toward depravity. One way or the other. It's like being half pregnant. Doesn't work. You either are or you aren't. So we're either with Christ or we're not. Jesus has done all things well, and so should we. What does that mean? On a human level, it does mean giving everything our all, our 100%, and doing all things properly and correctly, or working toward that at least. But behind all that are those three things, again, faith, hope, and love. Those things bring about every other virtue. We have faith in God, we have faith in ourselves, we have faith in others. We have hope in God, and therefore we don't see other people or the situation of the world as being hopeless. As long as grace is in action, we can make things turn out for the good. Why? Because we love God, and more importantly, because He loves us and calls us to love others. That's what St. James is talking about in the second reading. We can't look at the world and use worldly judgment and say that there are some people who are worth more than others. On a human level, we tend to do that sometimes. You ever notice that? We love making friends with people who are wealthy or those who are powerful, or those who have any kind of influence. In other words, we like to rub elbows with those people who can actually do something for us. What about the poor or the sick or the elderly or the young? Not quite so much, because they can't do anything for me. Well, that's the point. What are we going to do for them? As Jesus says, whatever you do to the least of my brothers and sisters, you do for me. So do we see Christ in every person? Do we look for Christ in every person? Do we see Christ in every situation, no matter how bad it may look? Are we seeking Christ in everything and respond to that? Or do we simply see things only on a human level? That's all we do. See things only on the earthly level. Hear things only on the earthly level. Respond to things in an earthly way. Then we're condemned to the earth. If, however, we look at things with the eyes of faith, we listen with the ears of faith, we respond with the actions of faith, then we find great things happening as God works in us and through us. Through Him, with Him, in Him, for Him. Jesus proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom, and He cured every disease among the people. Physical disease, spiritual disease, all disease that comes from sin, cured by the message of the gospel, by grace, by God, through us. Ephatha, be opened. Be open to the transforming power of God's love. Be transformed yourselves, and by that transformation, transform the world. Turn the wasteland of the desert into a place that is fruitful. The dry lands into great gardens, to bring peace where there is none, to bring love where there is none, to bring Christ where He is not. He has done all things well, and so should we.